It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in to the Boston Celtics postgame show here on CLNS Radio. We are the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics. Don't you forget it. You can also find us on your radio dial at ESPN New Hampshire, 900 and 1250 AM up in the Granite State, and of course, streaming live on ESPNNHradio.com. My name is Matt Rury. And the Boston Celtics tonight, I wish I could have spoken to you before this game, folks, because I was preparing myself to come in here and talk about a Celtics loss to one of the worst teams in the league. And my co-host tonight, Nick Sesento, I'm not sure if you believe me on that one, but I will explain myself going forward here. How you feeling right now, buddy? Celtics lose 106-105 down in New Orleans.
After the Patriots loss on the goal line last night, this is just not what I wanted to see tonight on Monday night. You know, I forewent the Giants and the Bengals. I mean, nobody really wants to watch that anyway, but I forewent the Monday night football to watch this. And just a horrible way to lose, you know, the last minute missing free throws, just to one of the worst teams in the league. I think they shared a worst record in the league along with the Sixers, so... But then again, this is the Celtics, and the way they've been playing this season, nothing surprises me. And I sure would like to hear your analysis of how you predicted the loss, but I don't blame you. I don't blame you because I think that, you know, like I said, nothing surprises me with this team at this point.
Yep, and New Orleans was 1-9 going into this game, but of course they pick up that victory against the Celtics tonight to improve their record to 2-9, so they are still one of the worst teams as far as their record is concerned, and I will get into why I thought the Celtics were going to lose this game. But first, I want to remind you all that our opening segment is powered by Blue Apron, whose mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. I love Blue Apron. I'm waiting to make some shrimp dumplings. That's the next meal that I'm going to be making here, and it's going to be delicious. I just made some chicken with some honey squash and rice. It is fresh. It is wonderful ingredients. They send it right to your house. They achieve their mission, which is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone by supporting a more sustainable food system and setting the highest standards for ingredients and building a community of home chefs. So all you have to do if you want to get a great deal from Blue Apron is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. And you're really going to love how you feel after you make one of these meals, because if you don't know how to cook, it teaches you how to cook. If you do know how to cook, it teaches you how to cook different flavors and cook with different ingredients. And it's all fresh, sent to your door, and it's very convenient. So check it out as soon as you can, blueapron.com/CLNS, and you will get your first three meals for free with free shipping as well. So that's right, $0, 0.0, blueapron.com/CLNS. Check it out one more time, blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. Take it from me. And I like to cook, so I get it. Nick Sesento, this is probably going to sound like I'm maybe sort of being a little bit of a revisionist historian, or maybe people aren't going to believe what I have to say just because hindsight is 2020. The Celtics actually lost this game. I didn't put it on paper or anything before the game. But looking at this Pelicans team, I was surprised that they are really this bad as far as their record is concerned. And so that was the main thing that stood out to me about this team, just the fact that they have Anthony Davis, a guy that is averaging over 30 points a game, and maybe not anymore after the Celtics hold them to just 25. 16 rebounds, by the way, which we'll get into that as well, because Celtics were struggling on the boards as well tonight. But my overall thought about this team, just looking at their roster, New Orleans, that is that they should be better than this. And it's not that they have any outstanding players or all-stars or superstars aside from Davis, but they do have some players that I think are here to prove themselves in the league and that they can actually play a little bit. Langston Galloway is one of those guys, and he showed it tonight. Tim Frazier is a guy that we saw in Boston in training camp, and he played okay tonight. But really, I feel like they have a lot of guys that play well in the paint, and if you just work around Anthony Davis, you should be better than 1-9. So take that for a second, and then I'll explain why I think the Celtics were ripe for the picking in this game.
Absolutely, and especially playing on the road down there in New Orleans. I don't think anyone considers New Orleans really, you know, a tough place to play. But, again, they had the lineup. They have strengths where we have weaknesses, especially Anthony Davis obviously is going to be a strength for a lot of teams. But, I mean, 16 rebounds. I mean, the team as a whole didn't really get killed on the boards that bad. It was only a 2-rebound difference, I think 46 for the Pelicans to 44 for the Celtics. But Anthony Davis in and of himself just really killed us, just grabbed almost anything, inhaled almost all those rebounds. I was kind of surprised that Omar Asik didn't grab more boards. I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of Asik. I know that at some point, a couple of seasons ago, the Celtics were thinking about maybe bringing him in. I'm glad that we didn't because I don't think he does all that much offensively. And tonight, even against a poor rebounding team, he only grabbed 4 rebounds. But Terrence Jones, 10 boards himself, 15 points. He had a double-double, 15 points, 10 rebounds. He, along with Anthony Davis, I think, really did a job on our team, who just doesn't have that inside presence to really do much of anything.
So I didn't even mention Terrence Jones, and he's probably the biggest, or he's definitely the biggest addition that this New Orleans team has had. And it's good to see him playing well because he had a scary health situation in Houston. I've always liked him as a player. I thought that the Celtics should go after him, even with his health situation, just because if he could stay healthy, I thought he would be able to produce. So he's doing that for New Orleans now. And I feel like looking at this New Orleans team, the way the Celtics have been playing recently with not being able to get rebounds and just relying too much on their offense and not playing much defense, I looked at this New Orleans team as a team that seems to be more athletic than the Celtics. They seem to be they definitely have the best player on the floor. That's hands down, bar none. Anthony Davis is the best player between these two teams, so you can't argue that one. And they have some guys that can knock down shots if you're not playing hard defense against them. And most importantly, they have guys that crash the boards. Davis, 16 rebounds. Jones, 10 rebounds. Solomon Hill, of all people, 7 rebounds. And like you said, Asik didn't even have a very good game. He didn't play that much. In limited minutes, he only had a few rebounds. But the point is, the Celtics have not been rebounding well at all, and they go up against a team that on paper looks like one of the best rebounding teams in the league, just by looking at the names that are on the paper and the sizes of the men that are on that team. I'm not even talking about what they've actually grabbed for boards. I'm saying physically, they look like they're a better rebounding team than the Boston Celtics. And while the Celtics fought tonight on the boards, give them a little bit of credit, they tried their hardest. I saw multiple times where they let up rebounds on an opponent's free throw. And Nick, that is one of the things that just gets me worse than anything else, worse than missing free throws as a guard or anybody for that matter in the league. These guys should all shoot 70%. But when you as a team cannot get a rebound when your opponent is shooting a free throw, something is wrong.
Yeah,
inherently wrong.
Absolutely. That's worse than even just a regular offensive rebound. That's inexcusable. You have the inside position just by the nature of the free throw. The team that's not shooting the free throw has two men inside that are closest to the basket. And if you can't block out, you know, in that situation, it's just a bad sign. And again, once again, Avery Bradley led the Celtics in rebounding, 10 rebounds tonight. The next closest was Kelly Olynyk, who had 8, although Kelly Olynyk didn't do too much on the offensive end of the basket. I'm not a fan of Avery Bradley, of a 6'2", maybe 6'3", I don't know what he's listed at, but 6'3", 6'2", shooting guard, being our leading rebounder night in and night out. That just can't work. And even when Al Horford was healthy, and I don't know where Al Horford is right now, I mean, I don't know how you get a concussion that's 7 games deep now. I mean, this is now 2 weeks, I think, we've been without Al Horford.
Yep, exactly 2 weeks to the day, you're right.
Exactly, 2 weeks to the day. Even when Al Horford was in the game, Avery Bradley was leading the team in rebounds. And I liked the fact that our guards crashed the boards, but I don't like having Avery Bradley being our leading rebounder. And this is why, because we have situations like this where Avery Bradley just can't get in there. Even though he had 10 rebounds tonight, he just can't get in there and compete with guys like Terrence Jones, guys like Anthony Davis, guys like Ashik, guys like Solomon Hill. He just can't do it. He can't do it all by himself, and we need somebody that's going to get in there and be scrappy and grab those rebounds other than Avery Bradley, and we just don't have that presence. And it killed us tonight. It hurt us tonight.
Yeah. We talked about this a few games ago on the post-game show. When Bradley, your guard, is your leading rebounder, he's averaging over 8 rebounds a game, which is crazy. Are you kidding me? 8 rebounds a game from your guard, your shooting guard. Regardless, when he's the guy that is getting the most rebounds, there's a problem there. And regarding Kelly Olynyk, I thought he had a pretty good game tonight. He didn't really score a whole lot. He didn't shoot very well. He took too many threes. But he's a guy that we talked about on the post-game show last time I was on as well. And I believe it was Pat Gilroy who said that Olynyk, he wouldn't be surprised if Olynyk went for 5 points in the next game that he did or that he played.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't maybe this is the very next game. I can't even remember which post-game show that was. But regardless, in the next couple of games after that one, look at that. Kelly Olynyk, 5 points. The effort was there. He still spread the floor the way things we want to see them as a Celtics fan. And he did rebound, and he boxed out on the defensive glass, and that's great. That's something that I expected from him as a 7-footer. But the Celtics need more across the board. They can't just have 2 guys getting rebounds every night and 2 guys scoring the ball every night. Everybody needs to do everything on this team, or they're going to struggle.
Absolutely, and it can't be different guys every single night. I think we need guys that are going to come through and be consistent every single game. And I don't think we have that either rebounding, although Avery Bradley does consistently rebound. We don't have, and Isaiah Thomas does consistently score. There's nobody else that really plays consistently. I think Marcus Smart had a very good game tonight, but where was he on Saturday night? Kelly Olynyk had a good night rebounding tonight, but a terrible night scoring, whereas the other night he had a very good night scoring. He had 2 good games, his first 2 games back on the offensive end, and had, you know, decent rebounding games, but was non-existent offensively tonight. So we have an extreme problem with consistency outside of a couple of our core players, namely Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley. We don't have that consistency where guys are getting it done every single night. We don't know where the production is going to come from on a nightly basis, and that's a problem. Whether it's on the glass, whether it's scoring, no matter what it is, we can count on Isaiah Thomas getting his points, even if he has to put up how many field goals did he attempt tonight? 29 field goals. And that's incredible that he had 37 points. I mean, if you would have told me Isaiah Thomas would go out for 37 points and we still lose the game, I would tell you no way. But, and he didn't shoot that bad of a percentage either. But we need other players. We need the other players around him to be consistent, and we don't have that consistency at all from this team. I know the rotations, the lineups have changed. I know Brad Stevens has had to kind of tweak his lineups with the injuries to Jay Crowder, with the injuries to Al Horford, with Marcus Smart missing a few games in the beginning of the season, and Kelly Olynyk missing a few games at the beginning of the season. But we still don't have that consistency, and it needs to start coming soon, because it's not time to press the panic button yet. I know most Celtics fans will sit there and say, oh, it's only 10 games into the season or however many games it is, but it's getting to that point where if we really think we're going to get to that 50 wins or the 52 wins that people have been predicting, we need to start getting it together. We need to get healthy, and when these players come back, they need to start playing consistently. They need to start playing consistently as a team. These were games, like the game tonight, these were games where we thought, hey, even though we're injured, we can probably make it through these games. And we're not making it through these games. We're not winning these winnable games. The Denver Nuggets was another example where we should have won that game and we didn't win it. If you're going to be injured, this was the stretch where we thought we might be able to make it through, and we're not winning these winnable games. You can take losses to Cleveland. You can take losses to some of the other teams, like the Bulls that we lost earlier in the season. But we can't lose to the Pelicans if we want to reach the potential that we expect this team to reach this season.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Al Horford and his injury and how serious that is in a little while. But I want to piggyback on something that you just said about consistency. And I think it's a combination of consistency throughout the roster of guys that play well night in, night out, but also consistency throughout a game. And you saw flashes of brilliance from Marcus Smart tonight. And I'm going to get into another topic about Marcus Smart a little later in the show that I'm pretty frustrated about as far as his style of play is concerned. But we'll get into that later, because he got away with something tonight that I don't really condone. But the players need to be more consistent throughout a game. They need to be more consistent throughout the roster. There were moments in the first half where the TV broadcast team was saying things like Jordan Mickey is making plays and he's going to get some playing time tonight and he's finally going to be able to make a name for himself and make some run in the NBA. And he did not show up in the game after that one moment that he had. So I think they were overplaying a little bit there. But the point is that guys like he and Jaylen Brown, with Horford and Crowder out, they have to step up. And it makes me wonder, looking down the roster, where is Gerald Green? Why is he not cracking the rotation at all? They paid him in the offseason. They brought him in, and Ainge made it sound like he was going to be a big three-point shooting, scoring punch off the bench. And I was extremely skeptical. It seemed like a strange free agent signing in the first place. So that's the tangent that I'm going on right now before we go to break, is where is Gerald Green and why did you pay him?
Well, I think that Gerald Green lost some minutes with James Young having the one career game that he had, and I was watching the social media, whether it was Instagram, whether it was Facebook, whether it was Twitter, the excitement that was generated by James Young's 12-point game or whatever it was the other night, and, you know, people saying, oh, Jaylen Brown is going to be scared now because there goes some of his minutes. With every basket James Young scores, Jaylen Brown better be worried. James Young is taking Gerald Green's minutes. I think tonight would have been one of those nights that I would have rather seen Gerald Green on the court as opposed to the 6 or 9 or whatever minutes it was, 6 minutes that James Young got. James Young, much credit. I think that, you know, that game he had the other night, he had a good game. But I don't, again, consistency. I don't think you're going to see anything consistently out of James Young. I mean, the sun shines on a dog's, you know what, at least once in his life. And, I mean, that happened with, you know, James Young. He's going to give you one game every 20 or 30 games if you give him a few minutes, if you give him enough run. But he's not a consistent player that's going to give you something consistently. And I think Gerald Green, even in 6 or 10 minutes, there was one game where he got some run in 10 minutes and he scored something like 8 points. I think in these situations, I think this might have been a game where Gerald Green could have seen some time. Maybe not, you know, a whole lot of time, but give him those 6 minutes. Give him a few of those minutes, you know, that we gave to some of the other players like James Young, and let him come in and see what he can do. He certainly has something left to offer. We've seen him do it already this season. I just don't understand why we're paying him, even just veterans minimum, to sit on the bench and not even get in the game.
Because Ainge needed to fill some salary cap space, I suppose. Maybe it's the same reason he paid Amir Johnson double-digit million-dollar figures 2 years ago, just try and fill some roster space and some cap space and go with his young guys. But I think the point we're both trying to make here is James Young is not the answer. Gerald Green is not the answer. The Celtics need to get healthy. And we will discuss that as we come back from a break here in just a moment. And then we will also open up the Movement Watch's toll-free call line. So give us a call at 347-215-7771. This is the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. Nick and I will be right back.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. Three free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Celtics postgame show here on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rury, and I'm here with Nick Sesento as my co-host tonight. Celtics lose down in New Orleans, 106-105. There are multiple reasons for this loss, and Nick and I have been discussing them. And Nick, before we do open the call lines, I just want to say that I'm going to have some more thoughts after the call lines, again, about the play of Marcus Smart and just his style of play. And I'm actually going to rip Isaiah Thomas a little bit too, because you know what? I think that that he played a role in the Celtics losing this game, even though he scored 37 points. But we will open those call lines right now. Toll free 347-215-7771. They are the Movement Watches call lines, and they are brought to you by Movement Watches, which is a wonderful company that you just heard about from Nick Gelso during our break. And while department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good people over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and they pass that savings right to you. So they are slick, fashionable, and they are affordable because you're getting that savings. And they start at just $95. $400 to $500? You can get it for $95? That's awesome. Go to mvmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat and get 15% off of that $95 with free shipping on your first order. Again, that's mvmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat. And they are our wonderful sponsor of the call lines, toll-free 347-215-7771. And first up, a man that I'm going to be very happy to hear from and even more happy to hang out with at the end of this week. Sam in San Diego has some thoughts on why he thinks the end of this game sort of went poorly. Sam, what's up, man?
Hey, Matt. Man, I'm so frustrated with Kelly Olynyk. I think his clumsiness is what cost us the game today. He made three critical fouls down the stretch. There was one around the unibrow's legs where I think he was reaching for the ball and he fouled him. Then there was that offensive foul. I'm sorry, it was a defensive foul on an offensive rebound attempt where he sent the self-fence to the line all the way to the other side of the basket. And then at the end there, I mean, you could telegraph that. You could see him running. You could tell he was going to foul him. I don't understand why NBA players can't stay down. You're not going to block that shot, and you don't want to try to block it. It's a jump shot. It's a three-pointer when they only need two. I don't understand why NBA players, why is that not drilled into them to stay
Sam,
down? They constantly do it.
My gosh, Sam, for a guy that really loves to pump fake almost to a fault, he pump fakes way too much. Kelly Olynyk bit on that pump fake so hard. Tim Frazier got him out of his shoes. He fouled out of the game on that, rightfully so. You hit on a bunch of things that he did poorly there, and really to the detriment of the Celtics. This guy is not a good defender, we know that, but he does things that helps the team, so I want him on the floor. But you could see at the end of the game, Stevens was subbing Tyler Zeller in for Kelly Olynyk on free throw rebounds and on plays that looked like they were going to end up being a play where he needed somebody on the offensive end. And to me, that was a little bit confusing. I don't know if that has anything to do with Olynyk's clumsiness. Maybe he's still working his way back into shape, but I think you hit it right on the head, Sam. That play was a big part of why they lost this game, and he got faked out.
Yeah, and this team just can't get anything going. I mean, you know, they've got these two home games coming up. The Golden State game, we have no momentum going into that Golden State game, and I don't see how we're going to have a chance to beat that team. And I mean, we're just kind of floundering. And, yeah, we're only 10 games in, but, I mean, the Lakers just killed the Pelicans in New Orleans, and they're a 1-9 team, I think it was, going to the game. So I just
– That's right.
We should be able to beat these teams without Horford and Crowder. You know, we're a team that's a winning team. They should know how to win without them. I don't know what else to say. This is really hard to watch right now.
Yeah, it is very difficult to watch. And, I mean, I don't know if I agree with you about the Crowder and Horford thing. I think that people are underestimating those two players a little bit, and that maybe you're overestimating the quality of the rest of the players on this roster. When I look at this team, I just see a guy that can really score a lot, And we pumped Avery Bradley up quite a bit, and rightfully so this year. He's playing out of his mind. But everybody else on this roster, Sam, frankly, Nick and I said earlier, they are inconsistent. And if you're inconsistent in this league, you can get beat by anyone.
And that's one thing I think that we're missing from Jay Crowder is the consistency. I think Jay Crowder was one of the few consistent players that we had, and not just the consistency that he brought, but what Sam has mentioned before, that we're just not getting anything going. It seems like we're kind of flat. We're just not into the game. Jay Crowder was that guy that really fueled the fire, the passion, you know, the intensity of this team, and he's just not out there. So, I mean, he may not be the biggest stat killer, but he's an intelligent player, a cerebral player, and he's a player that brings that fire and the passion to the team that I think that we're severely lacking right now.
Well, I mean, this is all costing us. So, I mean, if this is a team that needs to win with all of its parts in place, because we didn't even have Horford last year, and I know we lost Turner, but I mean, I don't know. It makes you think twice about it. Like you just said, without those two players, we're just kind of average. So, I mean, what exactly do we have here? I think that's why people get frustrated with not having a superstar, right? Because you don't have that player. You're having to rely on so many players to play well and to be healthy in order to compete. Otherwise, it seems like this is what we have as a 500 team.
You know what, Sam? I'm with you on that one. And I think part of that is what's going to roll into my little bit of a rant on Isaiah Thomas. So I was going to try and roll your call into some Horford discussion, but instead I'm going to roll it into the Thomas rant. And I thank you for giving me that segue, sir. I'll see you later this week, all right?
Thanks a lot, guys. Go Celtics.
All right, there's Sam in San Diego, one of the biggest Celtics fans that I know, and I know quite a few, so that's a proud thing to wear as far as I'm concerned. And Nick, I'll keep this short and sweet, my little rant on Thomas, because I don't think he deserves a complete beating. I think that going into this game, I had some pretty high thoughts of Isaiah Thomas, because even though a lot of NBA players would play through this injury, he has a sprained finger on his shooting hand, and he didn't tape it up. He just wanted to fight through it. And I think that partially as a leader, that team needed to see something like that, because they haven't had the toughness that they need to have in order to beat teams that may be more talented than they are. So in that regard, I want to give him some praise. I think that he is approaching things the right way. And he's fighting through an injury that is tough on a guy that relies on his shot. But on the other hand, if it's not really going that well for you, I don't care if you're the best scorer on the team. There are better ways, and this is on the coaching staff too, there are better ways to score than to just jack up threes that fall short or to take shots that are rushed within a possession. And I think there were three or four instances down the stretch of this game tonight where Isaiah Thomas, the all-star, was taking shots that were ill-advised. And
hero ball.
I just think, yeah, it was totally hero ball. And if you start to fall into that situation and you get into that trap, you're going to get beat, because teams are going to notice what's happening, and he's not big enough to pass out of double teams like a guy like Paul Pierce was when the Celtics were isolating him, and I hated it. But at least Pierce had the opportunity to pass over guys. Thomas can't do that. He can't pass over a double team when both players are 6'6". So if not that situation happened tonight, but in general, that's the way that I look at the sort of isolation of Isaiah Thomas and him playing hero ball. So I just wanted to give him a little criticism tonight, because while he did score 37 points, he also missed 7 3-pointers, and at least 3 of those threes were what I would consider to be a bad shot, and he should have been trying to work something better with one of his teammates and even get a 2-point shot in that possession. I just feel like they were sloppy in the second half. They took bad shots as a team, and he led the way in that regard. So while I'm going to praise him at the beginning for being tough and gutting through his injury, he needs to realize that his injury may be hurting his shot a little bit, and either get to the basket or stop taking bad shots, one or the other. That's what I would say as a coach. So some of that goes on the coaching staff as well, but ultimately the players are the ones on the court. So that's why I'm giving him some criticism tonight, warranted or not.
Absolutely. Part of being a leader is, of course, playing through injuries, showing that toughness, showing that, you know, that drive that Isaiah Thomas clearly has. But also part of being a leader is knowing your limitations and not taking those rush shots, not, you know, forcing shots up there. I mean, there's not even a situation that I can think, injured or not, where I'd want Isaiah Thomas shooting 10 three-pointers. He's just not that great of a three-point shooter. He's a decent three-point shooter. He's a serviceable three-point shooter. But I don't want him taking 10 three-point shots, you know, in a game anyway. I mean, you want him to pick and choose those shots. And like you said, there were at least three or four of those shots where he probably could have done something better with the ball on, or better with that possession than just chuck up a three-point shot. And I think when you know that your shooting hand is injured, you have to understand your limitations. And I agree 100%. He drove the ball, and when he did drive the ball, there were a couple of situations where he drove the ball into, you know, double teams or drove the ball into the paint and found himself stuck, and he just doesn't have the visibility, the height, the, you know, the ability that, like you used the example, Paul Pierce had to pass out of those, you know, those situations, because he just doesn't have the size to get over players that, you know, that have a foot on him, literally, that have almost a foot, if not, you know, close to it, to pass over those situations. So, you know, definitely you want to see a guy fight through the pain. You want to see a guy fight through those injuries. And you can't fault a guy who scores 37 points and only drops one turnover with seven assists and who shoots 45% from the field. But in a game like that where it comes down to the wire, know your limitations, make better use of your possessions, and, you
okay.
know, be that leader.
Yeah, I'm with you. And now I'm going to flip-flop again, sort of. Actually, let's just pile more criticism on the team, because I feel like they deserve it early on in the season. As much criticism as Thomas deserves for stuff like that, the coaching staff really needs to be a little bit more active. I feel like they're not into the game half the time. And
absolutely.
Brad Stevens this year, for whatever reason, he seems to just – at least early on, just be letting the players play. And I'm not saying he should be calling timeouts and writing up plays every single time that they are in a crunch set time situation. Obviously, you let guys play through situations and you let them make decisions on the court as well. But I can remember times in the past where Stevens, and when you look around the league, other coaches do this as well. They are at least up and yelling things at their team and calling out plays and making suggestions from the sidelines. You don't have to call timeouts and stuff like that, like Alvin Gentry did, quick trigger finger a couple times tonight. But you need to still be in control of your team. And I feel like for whatever reason, Brad Stevens has been a lot more passive than he has in his first few years as Celtics head coach. And that is a problem to me, because sometimes the players need a little more guidance than what he's been giving them.
I think the best word is aloof. He just hasn't really been. Sometimes you want from your coach, you like the steady level-headedness that you get from a guy like Brad Stevens, but there are certain points in a game where you want him to show that intensity, where you want him to get pissed off. You want him to, you know, jump up off the bench and, like you said, start yelling things. Maybe get a tech, you know, get something that'll if the team isn't showing the fire themselves, if it's not coming from the players, it needs to come from the coach, and the coach needs to get fired up. That's one of those things that I think, even in previous seasons, Brad Stevens has always been one of those level-headed guys. I think he comes from that school of, maybe he's been taking hints from Bill Belichick of, you know, not showing any emotion, and that works very well on the football field. It's not always the best strategy on the basketball court when you have a team that may need that extra little push, especially a young team like this that, you know, that looks to their coach for, you know what I'm saying, that extra little bit of guidance. A team that doesn't have the veteran leadership on the court that you might want, you need to look at the coach, and the coach needs to, you know, set the tone for the rest of the team. And I think in some situations, and this is not a massive criticism on Brad Stevens, because I think in general he's one of the better coaches in the league. I'd put him in my top three or top five coaches in the league for sure. But that's one of the deficiencies that I think he has, is that in certain situations he needs to show that fire, and I don't think he does, and tonight may have been one of those games.
Well, maybe you just hit on the biggest point of them all, and the one that everybody needs to focus on going forward if we're going to start forgiving this team for not getting to 50 wins, because it's, if they keep playing like this, like you said earlier, they're not going to get there. They need to sharpen up, and they need to do it pretty soon, or the losses are going to pile up and it won't be mathematically possible for them to even get there. But maybe we need to realize and start to acknowledge that overall, this is a really young team. Isaiah Thomas, 27 years old. He's your superstar. He's your number one. That's
and
young
he's never
for
been
a,
there
for
before.
Right. That's young for a superstar not named LeBron James, Michael Jordan, and a very few other players at that age. A guy like Isaiah Thomas, the way that he has made it up through the league as a second-round pick just 5 years ago, he is still young by NBA standards, and he's making his rise very rapidly. But he's a young superstar. Everybody else on this roster is pretty young. Their coach is one of the youngest in the league, if not the youngest. I would have to look that up to confirm, but I mean, he's definitely, we know for a fact that he's one of the most unseasoned NBA coaches out there, just purely based on guys that have been around the league more often because he came straight from college. So there are even some guys that have been a head coach for less time than Brad Stevens has, but they have been around the NBA for longer, so they may have an advantage. Now, as far as basketball knowledge and how the game works is concerned, Stevens is right up there with the top coaches in the league, but it's these little things that we just discussed, managing players, managing downtime, and just trying to figure out what the best position to put your team is on a night-to-night basis. That's something that I've thought that he has done really well the past couple of years, and this year it seems like he's not even attempting to do it. So I'm a little frustrated with him as well. But it is what it is. The Celtics are struggling right now, and I just hope that they can turn this thing around and give us some more wins to discuss as we go forward, because the talent seems to be there to win in the East, and they're not putting it together right now. And why don't we pick this up on the other side of our second break, and we will discuss why they maybe are not really in things right now. As I teased the Horford discussion, we'll pick that up on the other side and discuss why or how devastating his injury is right now and whether he's going to be back anytime soon, what his impact is going to be. You're listening to the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. Nick and I will be right back.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone, and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Guard Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it. I'm Jared Weiss, host of the Garden Report Celtics postgame show, which is the only full-length, high-definition postgame show shot in the Garden after every Celtics home game. I'm joined by a rotating crew of some of the best reporters covering the Celtics after every game. The Garden Report takes you inside the locker room with player and coach interviews in full high definition. So subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/CLNS Radio to catch every episode of the Garden Report and every full-length coach and player press conference at each Celtics home game. You can also listen to the Garden Report and all the player interviews as a podcast by subscribing to the Garden Report on iTunes and Stitcher, or by visiting the CLNS Radio app in the App Store.
All right, folks, you're listening to the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show here on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics. My name is Matt Rury. We are streaming live on CLNSradio.com, and the Celtics have dropped a tough one tonight down in New Orleans, 106-105 to the Pelicans and Anthony Davis, who Nick Sesento, they held to 25 points. They held Anthony Davis down tonight.
It was that ferocious defense from Kelly Olynyk and Amir Johnson that just totally held him down. Just the master MVP candidate, Anthony Davis, and we held him to only 25 points and only 16 rebounds. Can you believe that? It was just an incredible performance by both of our front court starters and just the rest of our, you know, role players. It was just incredible.
I think I actually heard Brian Scalabrine on the TV broadcast utter the words, "Jordan Mickey did a good job on Anthony Davis in the first half."
He got four boards. He did steal four boards. He ripped those four boards right away from Anthony Davis. I mean, can believe that.
If you didn't think Scal was a homer before tonight, trying to spin Jordan Mickey as doing a good job against Anthony Davis is the ultimate homer.
Speaking of Scalabrine, there was something that I wanted to bring up real quick. I forgot about it until you mentioned the Scal. I read earlier today online that he mentioned something on CSNNE about a possible trade that he had heard about. He since walked it back and, you know, kind of walked it back, but the Warriors may be trying to shop Klay Thompson and a possible trade of Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and the first round Nets first round draft pick this year for Klay Thompson. And I don't understand what that accomplishes. I think at best is maybe slightly better than a lateral move, because what we need is rebounding, and we'd be getting rid of our number one rebounder in Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
But just this Scalabrine thing to throw out there, just a little thing on.
I'm not even going to touch on that. They actually asked Bradley about that in the pregame on CSN tonight, and I just basically Abby Chin apologized to Bradley for Scal for even saying something, because Scalabrine basically said no, it's BS. I just made it up. So it's stuff like, I think Scal put his foot in it, you know, and he needed to clean his shoes off a little bit, and that's just the way it goes in the media sometimes. Sometimes you put your foot in it and you have to get some new shoes or back yourself away. And that's what I think Scal found that out tonight. And it didn't seem to affect Avery Bradley's game because he played pretty well. But the overall point of this is I wanted to just bring up, that's how I wanted to get into the Al Horford talk, because obviously if Al Horford was healthy, he would be the guy that's going to sort of match up against Anthony Davis more often than not. So he was in New Orleans today, this morning, after his concussion protocol is moving along, and he went through shoot around and then they sent him home. So I don't know what is going on here. If the guy can't get through shoot around, why do you send him on a 3-hour plane trip to New Orleans and then back again in a 24 to 48 hour period when he's just had a concussion a couple weeks ago and he's trying to come back from it? And maybe I'm speaking about a myth right now of concussions, and I don't actually know the facts, but it seems to me that taking a long trip in any sort of vehicle, especially a plane, with a concussion is probably not the best idea.
No, I would agree. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about that. I do know that, you know, sitting for long periods can, you know, cause certain issues with, you know, circulation or whatnot. I don't know if it has any impact on a concussion, but as we mentioned earlier, 2 weeks to the day since we've lost Al Horford, and it's really quite puzzling. I mean, at some point you have to begin to wonder what exactly happened in that practice. I don't think there was any video of it. What exactly happened
that
in that practice?
Was it Zeller? Was it Jarebko? Who hit him? Was it somebody? Did he get taken to the ground by accident? Was it an elbow to the head? How blatant was it? I wondered that immediately when I heard this news 2 weeks ago, and
Kelly Olynyk?
Did Al Horford pump fake
Kelly Olynyk and Kelly Olynyk
like
went for it?
That's a conspiracy. No, but it's like, I don't know. You want to get a conspiracy going. None of those guys that I just mentioned are really getting more playing time. Zeller got 5 minutes. Like, they're not getting playing time. So those conspiracies don't even play themselves out correctly. But no. before I cut you off there, I apologize for that. But yeah, continue on.
I think I cut you off, but that's okay.
Either way, we're cutting each other off right now. We're both fired up about the fact that Al Horford is not with this team right now. But I just feel like if they flew him to New Orleans and he went through shoot around and then they decided he wasn't good enough to play and then they flew him back, why wouldn't you just try and put him through a simulated shoot around before you put him on a plane? That's the part I don't understand. I know he needs to be back for the next couple of games because the Celtics are going to come back to town anyway. But why send him down to New Orleans if he's going through the concussion protocol? That's something that the NBA maybe needs to look at as far as where they are in the timeline. But it just seems to me like if you can get on a plane and fly down there without any sort of problems and you can get through 2 weeks of the protocol – and we saw him running. I don't know why he can't get through a shoot around and then just get sent home. Something seems wrong here. So I'm a little concerned about Al Horford, and I hope that he gets better soon, because we know that concussions are a dangerous thing, and it affects your life after the game. So he needs to come back healthy, and that might take a little bit longer than people would expect, I guess.
Absolutely, and I mean, it's one of those things you really hope, and you know, if you're one of those type of people, you pray, you send out good vibes, that it's not one of those situations where, you know, something like a concussion happens and then you find some other underlying problem. I really hope it's not something like that. I don't think it is. There's no reason to believe that, but I mean, in basketball, it's just how many things can happen in a basketball practice where you get a concussion that keeps you out for 2 weeks, and then you have to go back to Boston, you know, or go back home. I mean, if at the very least, and this
strange.
Gets back to what we were saying about a veteran leadership and Brad's, you know, the sometimes aloof presence on the bench, that, you know, having Al Horford at least on the bench in street clothes or in a suit to be there, you know, for his teammates could have possibly been, you know, a help to this team, because that's what I think this team is missing on the court. He's the one that's been to the Eastern Conference Finals. He's the one that's been where, you know, none of these other players, well, Avery Bradley has been there, but he was a very young player at that point in 2012 when he took that role. But, I mean, he's the guy that would be the one on the court to keep this team calm and collected and be that leadership, you know, role. And he's not there even on the bench. So, I mean, I have no idea. I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form in that type of in that field, but it does beg the question, what exactly is going on with Al Horford? And we as Celtics fans can only hope that, first and foremost, that he's all right, and that, you know, second, he can come back sooner rather than later, at the very latest for that Warriors game, because we're going to need every single possible weapon that we have to even keep that game competitive, because that's just a completely loaded and stacked team.
Yeah, I'm starting to be a little concerned for Al Horford. I hope he comes back soon and he can show us that everything seems to be fine with him. Just for his health, from a health standpoint, and that's definitely a concern. But either way, Sam in San Diego getting back in on the action here. Nick, he just tweeted at me at Team Green Truth and at CLNS Radio. Oh, that Bradley 3 from well beyond the arc. Come on, execution. Sam wants to see some better shots from the Celtics overall. We touched on Isaiah Thomas taking some bad shots earlier. And I think I'm going to end the show with a little bit of another rant here, and I'll let you get in on it if you'd like. But there's other bad things happening on the court tonight, things that I don't really condone, things that I think, one, Marcus Smart is going to be hearing from the league about, if the league has any backbone and if they follow their protocol and follow what they say they will do about flopping. Because guess what? We've talked about it before on this network. Marcus Smart is a flopper, and I don't condone that. I think it's a cowardly way to go about things. And on this particular play, he was in position. He could have taken the hit like a man and still gotten the call, but instead he flopped. And then he gloated about it, and I feel like the league needs to say something to him and say, you're being warned, and the next one is a fine, because he's been fined before, and I think he deserves to be fined again if he keeps this up. I'm not one for flopping, but you know what? Isaiah Thomas did it tonight too, and I feel like this team is starting to pick up a little bit of that flopping mentality, and I hate that stuff, Nick. I can't stand it as a basketball fan. And it really burns me that they do this stuff and they get away with it. And then they gloat about it after that. I don't know if you remember the play I'm talking about, but Solomon Hill basically dunked over Marcus Smart, and he was in position to take a charge. He was just a little too short to take the charge, and he started flopping too soon to actually take a charge, which is something that basketball players have been doing for 75, 85, 100 years. And he couldn't take a real charge. He had to flop, and then he had to get up and make the little offensive foul motion that the referees make. He had to put a big smile on his face and then get the crowd going out of the timeout after that. And it just, I don't like seeing stuff like that, man.
Well, there's nothing beats the one that I saw from Dwayne Wade, where he ran into a pick and then it's like really just completely blew it. I think it was a couple of games ago I saw one of those. But if you're going to flop, and listen, there's a big difference between selling a foul and complete flopping. There's a very big difference. And maybe it's a fine art, you know what I mean, that you have to, you know, learn how to sell the foul and just completely, you know, do it. But if you're going to do either one, whether you're going to sell the foul or you're going to flop, you don't then get up and start gloating about it. You don't get up and start making referee motions, because guess what, Marcus Smart? You're not a referee. You're a player. So if you got away with, you know, with the flop, get away with the flop, because all you do after that by gloating, by making those motions, but, you know, pumping your fist or whatever it is draw attention to it, make the league look at you and then take away from your paycheck. And Marcus Smart,
exactly.
You're not making in that much money right now. You're still on your rookie contract, even though, I mean, that much money, relatively speaking. As a basketball player, he's obviously making more than all of us. But in terms of a basketball player, he's still on his rookie contract. Don't lose that money, Marcus Smart. Don't give the fans a reason to get into the game by, you know, doing something bogus like that, boneheaded like that, and, you know, flopping and then gloating about it. If you're going to flop, if you're going to sell the foul, do it, but, you know, do it discreetly, please.
Yeah, and not only that, but you're going to build yourself a reputation as a flopper among the referees in the league. Don't,
and they're going to look
show
at that.
Up, you don't show up another player like that, and most of all, you don't show up a referee. If the referees are looking at that, if I'm a referee after the game, I'm looking at that tape and I'm saying, oh, damn, I messed that call. I screwed that call up. I can't believe I blew that call. I feel bad about blowing that call. That was a bad call. Wait a minute, what's Marcus Smart doing? Oh, he's showing me up. I would feel terrible as a referee if I were watching that, and I'd look out for it next time. So guess what, Marcus Smart? You better hope John Goble or whoever the guy is that made that call in that game tonight is not doing any games anytime soon, because he's gonna remember that, and you're not getting away with any more flops.
And you know what that's going to do?
The league sends him a warning, Nick.
Absolutely. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to make it more difficult in the future for Marcus Smart to get those calls. And then what happens with Marcus Smart? He's going to get frustrated that he's not getting the calls, and then he's going to start getting calls against him for displaying his frustration for not getting the calls that he basically precipitated himself by doing things like this.
Goes.
He needs to get those things under control. We love his emotion as Celtics fans. That's one of the things we like about him. We love his scrappy nature. We love the fact that he can do a lot of the things that he does on the court. I'm personally not the biggest Marcus Smart fan, and those certain other personalities on CLNS love him and would never trade him for anything in the universe. I'm not one of those people, although I do appreciate what he can do, but it becomes a domino effect, a cascade where you do this, the league looks at you, the referees get that image in their head, and then they don't call those fouls. Marcus Smart doesn't get those calls, and then in the future he gets frustrated because he's not getting those calls, and it just becomes a domino effect. And that can't happen, especially with a team like this that apparently needs everything it can possibly get to win games against even 1-9 teams.
Yeah, it's a tough loss for the Celtics tonight, 106-105 down in New Orleans. And I'm just a little concerned that Marcus Smart is going to get that reputation again of a flopper, because that's what he does. He flops. And Thomas did it tonight too and got away with one on a fast break type. It was a loose ball in the backcourt, and Thomas got away with a flop on the other end there. So I just hope these guys focus a little bit more on the details that will help them win games as opposed to flopping. Because aside from the flop, Marcus Smart had a great game tonight. He made a few big three-pointers. He rebounded well. He was excellent on the defensive end. And I feel like those things get into his head, and it's not a good trend to start doing those things as far as flopping is concerned, unless you do it a little bit better and not gloat about it afterwards, Marcus Smart. Please, don't get up and show up, everybody, and show off your moves as a fake referee, because you got away with one.
He could take a lesson from Jaylen Brown, who is one of the most level-headed and mature young men that I've seen come into the league. He plays the game, and I know he's a rookie, and he doesn't want to do that, and he doesn't want to, you know, show up anybody and isn't in that place, but I can't see Jaylen Brown even 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Jaylen Brown seems like that type of player that's mature beyond his years, that's a very cerebral guy that doesn't want to do that. And maybe Marcus Smart could take a couple of, you know what I'm saying, lessons in that regard from Jaylen Brown. A couple of lessons in that regard from Avery Bradley. I mean, it's a fine line, because we like the intensity of Marcus Smart, but it has to be smart intensity. No pun intended.
It has to be intelligent intensity.
It has to be, you know, controlled intensity. It can't be, you know, this type of gloating thing. And he's already had that reputation since coming out of college with the incident that he had with the fan. And I understand there were other, you know, mitigating circumstances with that situation, but people, the referees, fans are already looking at Marcus Smart like that to then
flop and then gloat about it is not something that he needs, not something the Celtics need, and just not something really that the league needs. We already get enough of that from players like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. We don't need someone like Marcus Smart doing that for the Celtics.
Nope, I'd much rather see him, like I said, focus on the little things that are going to help him win games, like getting in position defensively and actually taking charges and things like that, instead of trying to gloat after after getting away with one. Isaiah Thomas does it too. I'll say it again. It's just the two of them over the past few years have been getting away with things like this. And when Smart was a younger player, even though he's still a very young player, he was getting away with it even more. But I think he's gotten a little bit of a big head about it. So I really, really hope, I guaranteed it earlier, but nobody's going to follow up on this. So whatever. I just really, really hope that the league talks to him about that and gives him that warning and says next time it's 5K. And I usually don't follow up on that stuff, but I'll definitely be looking for that over the next couple of weeks. I'll check that league flopping list and see who got nailed this week, because I expect Marcus Smart's name to show up on it, especially after the gloating afterwards. Anyway, Nick, great doing a show with you tonight, sir. That's going to do it for us here on the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. This show will be available for on-demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. You can follow us on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter. Like us on Facebook if you go to facebook.com/CLNSfans. And also, you can go to ESPNRadioNH.com to check out our ESPN Radio partners up there. They're also on Twitter at ESPNNH. And you can go to /ESPN New Hampshire on Facebook to check them out. Today's show was brought to you by Blue Apron. I love Blue Apron because the food is delicious. It's really great. I'm not even kidding. It's good food, man. I'm not even kidding. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS for 3 free meals and free shipping. If I didn't use it already and pay for it myself, I would get those 3 free meals. But they already shipped to me, so they're going to catch me if I try and get the free ones on CLNS. But you can get the free ones on CLNS. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS. And, of course, our friends at MVMTWatches.com. That's Movement Watches. Go to MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first purchase and free shipping as well. And don't forget audiblepodcast.com/trynow. For a free 30-day trial of audiobooks from Audible. The music tonight that you've heard throughout the show was provided by Joshua Morse. I want to thank Sam from San Diego for calling in and everybody else who's listening out there. For CLNS Radio executive producer Larry H. Russell, our program director Justin Pooland, and the founder of the network, the one and only Nick Gelso, my co-host Nick Sesento and I, we thank you. My name is Matt Rury. We'll see you back here the next time the Celtics play on Wednesday against the Dallas Mavericks. They're back home. See you then.